Have a blessed day and welcome to the Amen Corner program on Podomatic. This is your host, Brother Dave Moran, speaking. You are welcome to download and share this program. God says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it." So here is today's word. Praise the Lord. This is Brother Dave speaking, and we're going to be studying today in the book of Acts, chapter 8. I'll begin at verse 5, and just to give you a little information, this is when there was a persecution in the church, in the early church. Pentecost had just happened. The disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost, and Stephen was stoned, and Paul was there holding the garments of those that stoned him, and there was a persecution of the church at that time, and many of the disciples were scattered. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city of Samaria here. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least unto the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that for a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, it says he believed here, and was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, the people that is, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken shall come upon me. And that's a bad situation there when you are condemned of the Lord like that, and you ask someone else to pray. No, you need to pray yourself. But he asked Simon, and answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." That would be good to ask Peter to pray, but you pray too. You have to pray too. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. That would be John and Peter that had come down. And here we can go into the first book of Timothy, chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Gain is not necessarily godliness. The old prosperity message you know, that you hear so often, you know, give the $1,000 seed and you'll be blessed. No, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. It's great to be content with what you have. If you're content with what you have, God will give you more. And we have 6, verse 9 here. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, he's talking to Timothy here, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. He gives life to everything. And before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Jesus told Pontius Pilate that he could have no power over him unless it was given from above. Goes on here to say that thou keep this commandment without spot and unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the gifts of God, as we had our first scripture, they cannot be bought with money. There's no exchange of money. If you're in a healing ministry, you should not ask for money to pray for somebody. That's wrong. That's the gall of bitterness, as Peter points out. And we need not do that, and we need not charge. The gospel ought to be free. There is offerings that we can receive offering. It says that they that live by the gospel should live of the gospel. They should be supported by the gospel. But it's wonderful to earn your own way too, you know, if you can. But here we see that the root of all evil is that love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself, but the love of money. Wanting to be rich. It says you pierce yourself through with many sorrows in our scripture. It's said that the country of Monaco was a very, very poor country indeed. But the ruler there, he decided to start a casino. And there were a lot of rich people around, but his country was poor. And he started the casinos of Monaco. And what happened was, you know that Monaco, if you're familiar with the little country, it's one of the richest places in Europe. And it seems that today those involved in sin and sodomy, the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, are wealthy people. They're not in poverty. They're being enriched. And Satan has allowed them to gain wealth, you know, and there's a lot of money. Think about alcohol, all the alcohol and the booze of this world, the drinks and the bars and casinos. They're all making money hand over fist, as we say. And all these things are prospering, and the Sodomites are prospering, about to take over the country here in the United States. It would seem like certainly California, New York, the different the sea coasts are being taken over. Schools, colleges are being taken over by sodomy. And those things that are evil, those things that are wicked, are taking over, it would seem, because Satan is prospering these people. They're making a lot of money, but they're destroying their own souls in the process. They are apart from God. They're wicked. Like our scripture said, they all wickedness and guile and vile things are coming from these practices, but they're being financed. And they that would love money, you know, are turning to that. They want money, and so they'll be willing to compromise for money. They'll be willing to let sin in the church, willing to let sin in the school, letting to let sin and degradation into the country, you know, for the love of money. And all this is coming about, all the controversies, the not being able to use the bathroom at school. When I was in school in 66, I rarely used the bathroom for the same reason that there were boys in the boys' room that would look at other boys. And I found a gas station, a filling station, petrol, whatever you want to call it. I would go there and use their bathroom on my lunch break. I would hold it until then. And sometimes I would use the bathroom once in a while, but mostly I would try to go to a gas station nearby. That was in high school, 1966, way back when. But I can hardly imagine what it's like today. And I live in North Carolina, and we just passed a law preventing the non-discrimination of these people that are wanting to use the bathroom of their choice, men and women. Men wanting to go in the ladies' room, and ladies wanting to go in the men's room, I guess. But we're trying to pass a law to prevent that. And major companies now, major corporations, and just great big companies are, even the basketball, the NBA, are thinking of boycotting North Carolina and other states that may be implementing these kind of protective laws to protect our people from the exploits of all this carrying on. You know, the companies are already caving in. They have a bottom line to address. They have stockholders, and they want to gain money, and they know that those people that are in perversion have money. And so rather than risk losing that finance, that money that's coming in, they'll side with iniquity. They'll side with those that are in this vile situation. They call it a lifestyle, but it's a terrible thing that's happening on this earth. And the major companies, like I say, Wall Street is going all in, and it looks like we're going to have a struggle in this country over that same issue, the love of money being the root of all evil. You know, we've heard that all our life. Oh, the love of money is the root of all evil. Or some would even shorten it and say money is the root of all evil. But that's not necessarily so. It's the love of loving money more than you love God. Jesus said you can't love God and mammon. You have to choose. You can't serve two masters, for either you're going to love the one and hate the other, or serve the one and despise the other. You know, you have to choose. And I have chosen to serve God, and I must reject money, even though it's maybe a great financial abundance to come my way. No, if it means turning down God, if it means saying no to God, then no to the money. I say, praise the Lord. And this here is a song by the late Brother Junior Turner entitled, I'd Rather Have Jesus.